Hello and welcome to episode 563 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I am your host, Clarence Moy, and we are now back. And I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you.
Hello, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere at Hey Dude Meg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Welcome back. It's glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the one that wasn't here. So welcome back to me.
Yeah, welcome back to you.
That's true. Yeah.
That sounds like that song. What is like, what is, I've always wanted to be it to me. What is it? Oh, you know what I'm talking about? The song that's like, I've never been to me. You know that song?
Oh, yeah. I've been to blah, 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 but I've never been to me.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a great song.
Welcome back to you.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back. And I'm sure that everybody has caught up to both of the podcasts that dropped last week. Megan, you were a busy woman last week. You had costume podcast and TV movie podcast.
Well, I knew that we wanted to get on top of these things because we wanted to do this last year. We didn't do it last year. So I'm like, damn it, we're going to do it. I would like to try to get to a docu-series podcast if I could, but I'm still working my way through a lot of things. So
Yeah.
We'll see if I have time.
Well, the Emmy voting window comes up pretty soon, I think.
Yeah. And I still have some things to write up, so.
Nice. Well, this week we are not talking about Emmy 2026. We are taking a break from that, and we are going potentially flash forwarding to all the way to Emmy 2027, where we have three shows that have dropped within the past week that could be contenders. Actually, I think Furious has been out for a little bit longer than a week. Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
A couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. All right. But three new shows in the conversation right now. We've got FX's The Shards, Hulu's Furious, as I just said, and a return to Ted Lasso. And we're going to talk about all three here on this podcast. And then, of course, close with flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. Since, Megan, you have talked about Furious and Ted Lasso on the site, I'd like to start with the Shards, because we haven't talked about that at all. Like, and I'd have no idea what either of you think of this show. And so I'm very excited to talk about this.
Yeah.
So, Joey, why don't you tell us The Shards? What is that about? And why can't I stop saying The Shards? I'm giggling like I'm 12.
Yeah. I would probably say, The Shards is a sort of, I guess you would call it a coming of age story with a lot of cocaine already in the first episode.
And it's a historical fiction, right?
Yes. It's based on a novel.
It's Bret Easton Ellis inserting himself into a story that did not happen.
He's correct. In the book too. So
it's based on his book from 2023.
It's based on his book.
But it's Bram saying like he didn't live these events, right?
No.
Okay.
No, he's just putting himself in it.
That's
because why not?
I'm gonna write a book about me, you know, dating Devon Sawa when I was 14.
You could write a book about you and Joey going to Telluride, and there's a serial killer at Telluride.
Why there has not been?
Don't give people ideas, Clarence.
Hey, that's our $1 million idea.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out were you talking about giving people ideas to come and kill you at Telluride? Or
yes, that's what I said.
Because he's talking about writing the screenplay.
I'm talking about you're giving people ideas.
You know, I said, Joey, describe it. And I wanted to share my description. I'm sorry to interrupt you. But this is a Ryan Murphy production. And it's almost like this is Ryan Murphy's The Age of Innocence, where they're looking at social norms. But there's a serial killer. It's the most Ryan Murphy thing that has ever been created.
It is actually, I thought it within like the first... within the first 10 minutes. And maybe we think this with every... I'm going to find the piece of dialogue that made me laugh so loudly. when I started this that
Did we, I was going to say, did we accurately describe what this is about
no,
for
we
people?
haven't
Like,
even said what it was about. It was about
okay.
it's set in LA in 1981. It's about a group of high school kids who are entering their senior year. I'm declaring now a moratorium on any media that says we're gonna rule the school. It makes me want to blow my
Also, they
fucking
all
eyes
look like
out.
they're 30, so that's the other thing.
Well, yeah, it's there's been like maybe four shows set in high school where the kids are accurate. That's also too much of a cliche. We all talk about that a lot too. It's basically about a bunch of high school kids who are in LA, and there's also just because every show needs a serial killer. A serial killer is on the loose, and the like. I would say that in terms of what I think about the show is that when I was watching it, I was like, God, I hope that, you know, they stop the narration of them just talking about who everybody is and stuff, because I was like, that's a lot. But the most Ryan, I made a TikTok about this, but there's I was like, gee, is this a Ryan Murphy show? I can't tell. And it was the scene at the party when Evan Rachel Wood in a Michelle Pfeiffer Scarface Bob comes stumbling down the stairs, and she's like, "Where's my husband?" Played by Wes Bentley, who apparently lures young men into a hot tub, and then she gets to the bottom of the stairs as she watches Igby Rigney go up the stairs. And she was like, "Where's my husband? Is he in the bushes sucking some young guy's dick?" I was like, "Yep, the Ryan Murphy show. That's the most Ryan Murphy thing."
See, I think, and I put this on TikTok, my most Ryan Murphy moment was where our lead, well, Bret Easton Ellis's young Bret Easton Ellis,
Igby
he's trying to seduce his girlfriend and he just goes and takes off his shirt. And she's like, oh, have you been working out? And I'm like, bitch, come on. He's gay. Like, I mean,
Rigney. He's not trying to seduce
like
her at
he
all.
has such flair when he does it. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like that was my moment of this is a Ryan Murphy joint.
What's funny though, you know, talking about your this is the most Ryan Murphy moment. You miss the thing that makes it the most Ryan Murphy moment is that this random character comes waltzing in off the screen who is like looking like Andy
Terrifying,
Warhol.
looks like Andy Warhol, who like today, if he were alive, like and
Taking
back
pictures
from the
with the
dead,
Polaroid
like
camera for no reason.
that. It's such a jump scare. Like,
It's
is he a high
amazing.
school student? Who is that guy?
I think he's like a personal assistant.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
He's,
because I only watched like 1.5 episodes of it.
yeah, the line that I saw, it's voiceover as we're watching this girl come home who eventually gets attacked later in the show. This redhead girl says, "The one thing is evident, kids today have it fucking easy, but our generation had it tougher because we had to deal with serial killers." And
Yes.
I was like, all
Yes.
right. Like, I understand that it's positioning itself as like a certain style, a certain thing, but I was like, all right, guys.
I will say though, it had me in the first like 5 minutes. I was like, oh wow, this is really interesting. Like he's going to the movies. I was like, okay, this is cool. You're locking me in. And then I want to say it kind of once the guy entered the movie theater was when I was like, oh, actually, that was probably the first, oh, I'm watching a Ryan Murphy where he's
Homer
just
Gear.
like, he's like,
Homer Gear.
yeah.
Richard Gere's
Yeah.
son. Yes.
He's like,
Where the narration
mind
is
fucked
like,
him.
it's something like he noticed me staring at him. That kid
Yeah.
did not look at that movie for 10 minutes. He's just like watching him walk down the aisle like
Yes.
this.
Jesus. There's something that somebody said on Twitter that I'll have to find where it's talking about the upcoming Lizzie Borden show that they just released like a teaser for today, but I haven't seen it yet. I'll have to find the tweet because it is such a funny tweet and it's so accurate where it's basically like, oh great, can't wait for Lizzie Borden to be attracted to her brother and they're gonna have like fantastical sex that makes no absolutely no sense. I was like, yeah, that's where she's gonna like meet somebody else, and they're blah, 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 blah. So,
Or she's really into girls, and that's why she's so
yeah.
angry and wants to kill
Yes.
everybody.
It's
That's the
100% going
other.
to be about her being a lesbian. That's it's all it is. And then there will be like a subplot about I don't know whoever the president was at that time, and their secret
Richard
gay
Nixon will be in
agenda.
it, and
Yeah.
like
It'll flash
someone.
forward.
Ronald Reagan will be like, I don't like gay people. Like it'll be like he'll be like, I orchestrated
They'll
AIDS. Like
also
that'll
have the
be that'll be
filming of
fun.
Christina Ricci's Lizzie Borden film and the show what that was like at the
Yeah,
same time that they're
it'll
going to
be
film Lizzie Borden.
so. I have to find the tweet because the tweet made me. I was like, that is the most accurate fucking thing I've ever seen. Please stay tuned.
But going back to the shards,
Oh,
all of the
yeah,
things that
sorry.
you've said, both of you, are very accurate, very annoying, but also very Ryan Murphy. And I personally think this is the best thing he's done in a long, long time.
Really?
I was really into the show, every second of it. I've watched the first two episodes
Wow.
twice. Well,
Oh,
one and a
nice.
half of them. I fell asleep in the second episode. But I was really, really tired. Yeah, no,
Put
I'm
that on
just
the poster.
I know. No, it has nothing to do with the show. It was a long day.
I know.
No, I'm really into this. I just
Wow.
you're that opening scene is so great where that
It's
kid
great.
goes to the Westwood Village to watch The Shining on 70 millimeter. And I do want more of that aspect of LA, less of the druggy parties and stuff like that. But I don't know. I find it the serial killer stuff doesn't interest me at all, which is probably a problem because I think this is going to be the crux of it. But I like the social norms aspect of it, the exploration of 80s in that culture at that time, almost a sense of nostalgia for the mall, the bookstores, the record shops, I just find it really interesting. And I think I don't know, yes, they don't look like high school students. I don't know, it's campy, it's weird, it's way far out there, and it's I've seen two episodes. I can guarantee you it's four episodes too long. But I'm in for it. The first two episodes, I really like it.
Do you? I have not. I've seen the second episode, but I don't remember anything of it. Maybe I didn't finish it. I had it when the screeners first came out, and I maybe I haven't watched it. But oh, okay. So this is set mostly in 1981.
Yes.
Because there's something about that I think. I did enjoy it. Like I had a good, it's very entertaining, very campy. It's gorgeously made. We talked about it on the costumes podcast, but like the guy who's nominated for an Emmy for the Ed Gein story did all the costumes for this. He's a young guy, so I think his attention to detail is really incredible. The production design is really great too. But like sometimes like we kind of talk about Ryan Murphy is like, oh, this is such a Ryan Murphy show. But sometimes when he's when he I don't want to say strong and wrong, but like when sometimes when he goes in really hard and you can tell that he likes something, it makes it more enjoyable. Maybe it's because like the first episode was written by Bret Easton Ellis and Ryan Murphy, and maybe that is coming through. But I'm waiting for, because again, this is 1981. I guess it's the fall of 1981, so AIDS was already reported, because I think AIDS was starting to get reported in the summer of 1981. Little history lesson for any baby homosexuals listening. I'm waiting for that to get brought up. He's like, but I'm living this secret life, AIDS. Like, I'm just waiting for it.
But I don't know that I don't know, and this is what intrigues me more about the rest of the show. It is Ryan Murphy narrowed by the confines of the Bret Easton Ellis novel, and I don't know, maybe the novel talks about the early onset of the AIDS crisis. There is something about this book that has attracted Ryan Murphy. So, other than being good-looking teenagers in a serial killer world, being attacked by serial killers.
I felt like
If
it
it
was a bit like Scream, except no one cared. Like, did you get that feeling too? Like, that one girl died, and they're
yeah
just like, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Or
Or
they want to
come
clonopin?
to
yeah, yeah, or yeah, they come to the school and the statue is covered in fish guts and whatever, you know,
Yeah, and
all
they're
the
just like,
animals that have
ew,
been
like they're not
massacred.
even caring. It
Yeah.
was
Well, Kaia Gerber's like, yeah, I saw it. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find
Want a
the.
clonopin? She
Yeah.
literally, I think he's like, did you see it? She's like, yeah, I did. You want a clonopin? It's really.
It's a little
Ooh.
bit like if Popular had a serial killer in it.
Well, there was if anybody needs to know, I need to do a rewatch of that before it hits streaming. I think at the Halloween episode there's like a mask killer running around, which is very entertaining. I mean, the next episode is episode three is called Help Me Rhonda, which I love for some reason, but I mean, I'm just looking through the titles of some of the episodes, like Homecoming, Homecoming Part Two, Hamlet. Who knows? It's nine episodes, I think, total.
So
There's
it
a
should be
scene,
seven
or
for
six tops.
six, yeah.
There's a scene that closes episode two that is particularly gruesome, and I mean it's not gory per se, but it's a the killer force feeds one of the characters who has been tied up and is on the beach, fish from his tank, and he's like
Ooh.
pushing him down his throat, and that's you know it's just almost grosser than just being gutted from stern
Well,
to.
the killer's clearly Homer Gear, right?
They want you to think that,
Yeah. I'm just like,
it's
he's
but
the new
it's
kid in school. People start dying. Like,
yeah, it's not one of the, at first the if you look at the poster, the blonde guy is staring straight at the camera in the poster. Everybody else is looking off, and he's looking.
oh.
And I first thought, oh, it's
Oh, that's a
him.
good.
But in the scene, and it could be somebody else driving the van, but in the scene where they go to Brady Sinelis's girlfriend's horse riding facility,
Yeah.
they're all leaving in cars, and then the van drives up. So I don't know,
Oh.
maybe it's two.
Yeah.
Maybe it's another Scream thing
Maybe it
where
is
they're
like
like
Scream.
lovers
Yeah.
and
Yeah. And
it's
they're
two.
lovers. Oh my God, I'd love that. Well, I mean, we have the Shards book, so we can also just look up.
You could look it
It's
up
right
there.
over there. I can
Did
get
you
to the
read
last page.
it? Did you read
No,
it?
because I didn't realize I thought it was a I didn't look. I ordered it. And I ordered it and then this I got the screeners to it like 2 days later, and that like it was it's like 600 pages.
Oh, right.
I do want to read it because I've actually never read any of Bret Easton Ellis' stuff. I've always wanted
Oh,
to read. Yeah, I've always wanted to read like
I
American
have.
Psycho,
I've read American Psycho.
but I've
I
never actually gotten
read
around to it.
what's the one with what's the one with Hazy Shade of Winter was in the soundtrack? It's with Jamie Gertz and do
Less than
you know what
no.
I'm talking? I read that one and I can't remember. I'm looking it
Was that
up.
his first book?
Possibly.
Was that what he was
Yeah. Less
writing
than
in the
zero.
shards?
Possibly.
Because he's writing.
Less
Was it
than
less than zero?
zero. Less
Less
than
than
zero is
zero.
what I read. Yeah.
Because that's
Yeah,
what he's
that's the one.
supposedly writing when he's writing on the little
Okay.
typewriter in the beginning of the show.
Oh, well, the Shards is his most recent book. I didn't know that.
3 years ago. But I don't think, I mean, I don't know. I'm a little bit surprised that the reviews are I mean, maybe I'm not surprised, but it seems to be very divisive, and I think it's just a fun, campy thriller that's very much in the vein of Ryan Murphy, but people seem to be it's gotten some like rave reviews, and it's gotten really people really hate it, and I don't know what inspires the hate.
Maybe because I feel like murders, like every show has like a murder element to it right now. I do feel like we're kind of, peak. I mean, I think the one of the refreshing things about that show, Five Star, is it Five Star Weekend? Was that there was no murder. It was a group of women getting together, and there was no, even though there was a death, I think, of the husband, but like there wasn't a murder.
That'd be really fucked up if, like, my husband died. Let's get all our friends together.
And wait, and somebody died, and somebody gets
Like,
murdered.
someone else, like, what if they go, they're having this week end or this, vacation to grieve, and all of a sudden someone starts chasing them? That would actually be really funny.
I do wonder if it's just like, oh, this is what we expect for. I mean, Ryan Murphy also likes to have lots of hot young men in it. This certainly is not without
No
that.
shortage. No shortage.
Yeah, no shortage there. I just, and also, like, he likes to pick, Nepo babies like Kaia Gerber, Homer Geer. Like, I just feel like people might be a little, there's like a little bit of a fatigue to it. Even though I don't, I think you're
Could
right. I
be.
think it's harmless fun.
Yeah.
Well, not harmless for us, not harmless for the people in it, I guess, because they're getting killed. But I think it's, yeah, I think that maybe people are just, yeah.
I just don't I don't think the Television Academy is going to be remembering this a year from now. I think it's just going to go and come, and that'll be it.
I think so too. I wondered about when I first was watching, like I said, the first 5 minutes was so, I was like, oh wow. And then it kind of just, I think also people were, they were really responding to the how he depicted the Menendez brothers. I think that kind of put a lot of like a bad taste in people's mouth a bit. And this has that kind of LA 80s element to it. I'm wondering if that's part of it too. That's just like we you just did this, only you now you're doing the fictionalized version of it. And yeah.
There's a lot of fiction in the Menendez brothers.
That's yeah, right. Yeah. So I feel like yeah.
It's
Yeah.
interesting though that
Yeah.
they this is the first Ryan Murphy production in a long time that gets general screeners out to critics. Usually we have to wait for things to drop. I guess maybe
Yeah.
that's a Netflix thing. 'Cause
Maybe.
I don't
Yeah.
know. It's been a long time since he's done something on FX. But anyway, I'm enjoying it. I hope all of you will too. So speaking of killers, Megan, tell us about Furious.
Furious, I did not know until I was reading up on it. It's based on the movie Black Widow from 1987, I think, with like Deborra Winger.
Loosely
And
based.
loosely based, yes, because very loosely based. Because I was reading the synopsis and I'm like, this is not the same. But it stars Emmy Rossum and Lola Pettigrew from Say Nothing, last year's one of my favorite shows from last year. And it is about an FBI agent who is trying to find this female serial killer who is killing men who helped like kind of participate in her. She was trafficked as a teenager, and they participated in sexual activities with her. And she's, and also there's other things going on, but that's kind of what the lead is what they're going by. I don't want to give away too much, but yeah, that's what it is. It also has, oh, I want to get her name right, Nora Washington. Her name is Quincy. Hold on.
Tyler Bernstein.
I love her. I think she's so good. What a find. And Scoot McNairy, and then Jake Lacy, who's continuing his trend of playing complete assholes. And it's from Liz Merriweather, who she's on a roll between Dying for Sex, The Dropout. She was the showrunner for New Girl all those years ago. She's just really having a good couple years. So that is Furious. I mean, I guess my first reaction, I think this show is great. I think I'm hoping this show sticks around in people's minds for next summer or for next year for the Emmys because oh, speaking of Emmy Rossum is really fantastic, I think. Lola Pettigrew is so scary. I think they're both scary in their own ways. And I do want to say I hate the comparison to Killing Eve because I think this show is nothing like Killing Eve. And I don't, I maybe just because people are like, oh, it's a woman cop and a woman serial killer, but I'm like, you wouldn't do that for if there were two guys. Like, I don't know. But I don't like the comparison, but because I think it's completely different and stands on its own. And yeah, I really love the show. What do you guys think of it?
I've only seen one episode of it. I did really like
Me
it.
too.
I think that Lola Pettigrew is Emmy Rossum's very good. I think Lola Pettigrew has the opportunity to be truly great with this character. I'm very interested to see where it's going. I know that there are more episodes out there, but I just haven't gotten around to watching all of it yet. But no, it's
They
very
dropped
good.
like three the first week too. That's what was crazy.
It doesn't remind me of Killing Eve as much as it kind of reminded me of what's that movie? Nicolas Cage with this, he's a serial killer and he's the serial killer for the white face. What's that movie?
Long legs.
Long Legs. It reminded me a little bit about of Long Legs, the way that it's focused on this female FBI agent who is she, not well socially versed, not social.
Yeah.
She didn't have a lot of social engagement, and she's got a little, they all have Clarice Starling as their grandmother figure, right? I mean, they all have anchors
Yeah.
in her character and who she was. I don't know. It just it had it, it's not as left field as that movie is, but it just I don't know. There's something about it that the tone, Emmy Rossum's performance that reminded me of it a little bit. But Lola Pettigrew is fantastic in this. It's incredibly well made, and it's very interesting. And
Yeah.
I am excited to see more.
Yeah, I don't want to like give away too much too, because there's especially the last scene of this week was like But Joey, what do you think?
I really dig this already. Even if, I mean, I could understand if somebody would say there are some, like, I don't want to say cliches with it, but like sort of like hardened cop. I do think that the comparison to Killing Eve is kind of lazy. Just because it's like, well, it's women. Yeah, we're following women. The Sandra Oh character, Emmy Rossum characters are literally nothing alike. And
Also, everybody forgets that Sandra Oh wanted to fuck Eve or wanted to fuck Villanelle.
but Villanelle was an assassin.
Yeah,
Like,
right.
she
Yeah.
wasn't the thing I find most interesting, it's introduced where And this is maybe this has been brought up in other things before, but it was the conversation that the two women were having. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the actress's name already. The one you just brought up, Megan.
Lola Pettigrew?
No, the of
Oh, from
Emmy
Killing
Rossum.
Eve?
No, the other one. Hold on,
Oh,
look it up.
Quincy Tyler Bernstein?
I keep thinking I don't know if I've ever seen a show that dealt with this where they're trying to make a differentiation between a homicide detective and somebody who works in the FBI. I find that oddly, I don't know why I latched onto that, but I did. And then the other thing, there's a line that she says, victims of violence are normally the most violent. And then I was just like, oh, it's kind of like victims, I'm not saying that they all do this, but it's sort of like this
Hurt people hurt
like
people.
this sort of positing of just because something bad happened to somebody doesn't just because you're a victim doesn't automatically make you a good person.
Yeah.
I find that to be very, I was very surprised that they kind of like introduced that concept very early on, and that's just, and I was like, okay, I like what you're doing. Scoot McNairy, I love you.
I know
That's
he's really
it.
good.
It's a great
See,
show,
how
and I
many
could.
episodes have you seen?
I've only seen one.
Okay, you both have only seen one. Okay.
Yeah. I think what
So wait, do you see? Oh, go ahead, Clarence. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just gonna say, I think what reminds me so much of Long Legs is the way that the FBI agent character is processing their trauma through the exploration of the case. And she has, Emmy Rossum's character obviously has a
Yes.
lot of PTSD, a lot of backstory, a lot of trauma. I found that to be, and again, anchored in Silence of the Lambs way back then.
I can't remember if this is in the first episode. I feel like it is. Have you seen what Lola Pettigrew's character does for a living?
No.
I mean the no. I mean
Oh.
other than the cater waiter stuff?
Yeah, other than that.
No.
Oh. Just you wait. It's because that is also an interesting element. I wish we could talk about that, but because the actor that she works with is also amazing on the show. Great. But I don't want to give away too much. So keep
Okay.
watching. Keep watching.
Definitely will. All right. Let's wrap with season four, a sequel slash reboot. I don't really want to call it reboot, but in some ways it feels like a reboot of Apple TV's Ted Lasso, which of course stars Jason Sudeikis as everybody's favorite underdog soccer coach, Ted Lasso, who as we enter this fourth season, it's several years after the close of season three. He is back in Kansas City, both in Kansas and in Missouri. That's a running joke for anybody who's seen
I
the
like
episode.
that.
Because I always find that incredibly confusing that the Kansas City Chiefs play in Missouri. The Arrowhead Stadium is actually in Missouri.
Right. When
Anyway.
I was there, I said to them when I was in like Kansas City, I was like, "Where's Kansas?" or something. And then they just say right over, like everybody is
Yeah.
always kind of just like, "It's over there. It's over there."
The funniest line, one of the funniest lines in the pilot of this or the first episode of the season is when they're in the barbecue joint. They're like, "Where's Kansas?" And he's like, "Oh, it's right across the street."
Yeah, that's really
Anyway,
funny.
so he's working at a Whole Foods type place. 3 years later, he is watching his son play soccer, trying to be a great dad. Trying to be a co-parent with his now, I guess, divorced wife. And then, of course, three characters from, sorry, Rebecca and Keeley and what's his name? Boo, I've forgotten
Roy?
his, Roy. No,
Oh,
not
you mean
Roy. No,
Jeremy
no, no, no.
Swift?
Yeah, Jeremy
Jeremy
Swift.
Higgins. Higgins?
Higgins, Higgins, thank you. Come to pay him a visit with, of course, the intent of asking him to come back to the UK to coach the new girls soccer team, which of course is another underdog entity. We hear several references to other clubs, females football clubs closing or having financial issues or collapsing because of financial burdens. And they want him to come back and coach. And initially he doesn't want to, but I think he's going to, spoiler alert, by the end of the episode, I think he's picking up his family and moving back to the UK.
I know when
So
my mom was
it's
watching it, she's like, "Do you think he'll go back?" I'm like, "Mom, there's not going to be a season unless he goes back."
I mean, there's literally pictures of him in coaching women in the it's like putting on a really comfortable pair of slippers that are maybe a couple years too old, but you can't throw them out. And then you put them back on and you're like, oh, my feet still feel good in these. I'm going to keep them for another couple of years. That's what revisiting Ted Lasso is like. I say reboot. It's a sequel because they're carrying the story, but it does have a different feel to it slightly. I loved what you said, Megan, in your piece on the site that there's still it has still has stories left to tell, and I think it does. I think it
I
still
think
has
so too,
gas in the tank.
and I kind of like was reading a lot of the reviews, and people were just kind of brutal to this show. And I don't know if it's because of the way they handled the end, like where they were being cagey about whether it was coming back or not. And it's weird to me, Ted Lasso was such a like get like a show that got us through out of COVID. I feel like it came out like the summer of 2020. It was such a surprise. It was such a breath of fresh air. And it was such a phenomenon. I think people have forgotten about that, even though it's only been 3 years. I feel like people have forgotten how much a phenomenon this show was with the Believe and everything. And just seeing how maybe we've all become cynical or something, but it was really disheartening to see how people, well, granted, you could say that, hey, this is redundant, this is unnecessary, fine, but to see people just kind of picking on Ted Lasso as a character, I was just like, ugh, like, and not even, and misreading so many. I saw so many people misread that, oh, Ted Lasso's stealing from the grocery store now because he's bored. I'm like, no, motherfuckers, he was doing that to teach the other guy a lesson. Like, what were you watching? Like, seriously.
Clearly
But
not. I mean,
yeah, but I get the people who were saying like, oh, like I said, this is unnecessary. Even like the whole tangent with Higgins going to the Negro Baseball Museum, even though my mom was like, we were in Kansas City, why did we go there? I'm like, I don't know, I don't know who was there. But that was like kind of felt like, oh, this is like an episode, this is like a, it felt like an episode that would be in a later in the season. But I still at the same time, like you said, I love that you said it's like coming, putting on like slippers that are a little bit, maybe they're little, I should throw them out, but you know, there's something comforting about it. And these characters are still so comforting. I love spending time with Hannah Waddingham and Juno Temple and Jeremy Swift. I loved, like, I kind of don't need the other. Like, as long as I have those guys, I'm like, okay, that's kind of how I felt. But I'm sorry, I talked too much. Joey,
No.
Clarence.
No, go ahead, Joy.
I will admit that I was really resistant to this before I started it. I also didn't, I never watched season three. Because I don't know, it didn't like get to me in terms of, how do I say this? I sort of like bought into a lot of things that people were negatively saying about the third season. I was like, oh, all the episodes are way too long. And this is going, you know, saying all this stuff that, you know, without seeing it. But the thing is, I was excited to see these characters again because, and the thing is, I also was like bitching about, I bitched to Megan about how even like the advertising was getting to me. It was like kind of annoying me, where it was just like I watched the trailer and it's just like, you know, showing all the characters that you like, and I was like, the show is just here. Like, you're acting as if it was gone for 10 years,
Like
15
Cheers
years.
coming back.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not like it was, it that like bugged me. And it was like, yeah, the show clearly had a huge following, and Megan, I think you're right. Like, you know, what it did hit the zeitgeist at the right time. There's a reason why, you know, people are excited to see the show again. I think because the show is such a reset, for lack of a better phrase, it is so different. I found myself really enjoying it, and I didn't, any sort of baggage that I had coming into it, that complete I left that completely behind. It was like the stuff with Hannah Waddingham and Juno Temple in, I'm sorry, her buying that suit, and like sort of being disarmed by the Hannah Waddingham being like disarmed by this place, that you can tell she's a little bit like, what the fuck are we doing here? Is a really good example of how that character, even in one episode, is open to admitting that she's wrong and going with it, and like, you know, willing to be surprised. And it's sort of like seeing how Keeley affects her and like gets her in the mood, and their relationship is such a great thing. I don't know. I was really down for this, and it made me actually think, I was like, all right, fine, I will go back and I will watch. I would probably have to, you know, go midway through season two just to pick it back up. But I mean, it's like it made me want to go back and watch stuff that I didn't see And I was worried that I was going to be confused, and I wasn't because it is so different. So I was happy to see these characters again. And I was a little surprised by my own reaction to it.
I am too.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
was,
and
but I gotta say, I watched that trailer again after I enjoyed this episode. I was like, no, fuck that commercial. That commercial fucking sucks. Like,
I'm
I
actually
don't.
glad I didn't see that
Yeah,
trailer.
me too.
It's just sort of like they got the Mumford and Sons-esque music playing, and it's just like, it's
The member berries.
me. And I was like,
Yes,
shut
yes.
up. Like,
Member berries for a show that hasn't been on the, that's, just left the air 3 years ago.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, it's not like it's like you said, Cheers bringing. It's like, oh my God, like this, what it feels like the commercial or the trailer was like, remember when all those shows were rebooting all at once and everyone was like, oh God, oh God. And
Yeah.
it felt like it was trying to create a commercial and go back in time and plunk it down in that time period. Oh, that commercial sucks. Sorry. Good shit.
I don't think it's a it's still a Shaggy Dog aspect of a TV show, but as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, oh, thank God I don't have to listen to hear, Jamie Tartt's daddy issues anymore, or just, be done with those characters who I felt kind of ran their gamut by the end of season three.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's why I do think Ted Lasso is the, I mean, he's the title character. He's the most
Yeah.
interesting character on the show. He's going through other things. Whereas I think I'm even kind of like, I think Roy appears this season, but I'm kind of like, Keeley doesn't really need that love triangle to be interesting.
No, and I don't want Roy. I don't want a scene of Roy having like there's no crying in baseball moment where he makes the,
Yeah.
he makes the girls cry because he's such an asshole. And
Yeah.
hopefully they don't do that. That seems super cliched. But I assume he's going to be some kind of assistant coach or something like that. I don't know how
I think he just
he.
makes an appearance or something because he's coaching
Okay.
the Richmond guys. So,
Oh, that's right. That's right. I
yeah.
forgot that he had left that.
He's, I don't need him to be sad on a second Apple property. He's
Yeah.
already depressing as shit on Shrinking, and he's really good on Shrinking, but like, oh God, you, I need you to be. You could be sad on one continent. Like, don't, I can't have you cross the pond and do it both. That's just my two cents.
I could see this show, the Television Academy, falling back into favor with this show.
Yeah.
Just because comedy is so dead right now, and in terms
Right.
of,
And this is like a legit comedy too. So I could see it too, but I could also see people being, I mean, just watching people, like we were for the podcast, watching people talk about Ted Lasso. Like I said, I had whiplash because I remember when Ted Lasso was on, everybody was like, he's our hero. We love Jason Sudeikis, Olivia Wilde, and Harry Styles. And now with the invite out and Olivia Wilde's having a great year, they're like, we love Olivia Wilde. We hate Jason Sudeikis. Look at him trying to be Ted Lasso coming back. It's just like, I can't take it. Why can't they both exist and have nice careers?
Right. Well,
No, they cannot.
she even has to go back and revisit again that moment where she's on stage at CinemaCon and she gets served with divorce papers. Like, can't you let this poor woman? I mean, I don't care what happened on the set of that movie, that terrible movie, that whole chapter that should just be eternal sunshine from everybody's mind, but don't put that woman through that mess again. Like, that is,
No.
has to be one of the five worst moments of her life, and yet people keep asking her about that.
Right.
And
Yes.
did Jason Sudeikis know that? And let's make Jason, let's put him up on a pyre and burn him at the stake. She's
Yeah,
like,
it's
I don't even think that he knew that his lawyer did that. That's,
yeah.
anyway, I don't want to hear that story. I hate to see her having to go through it again. And I think people should just
Yeah.
talk about her filmmaking and how great it's gotten in the invite,
Right.
but no, we can't have that conversation.
But yeah,
Yeah.
I just hate the fact that it's like we can either like one or the other. We can't like both. We have to be either Team Olivia or Team Jason. And well, they can both have, but they can both have good years. So
Yes, they can.
anyway.
All right. So does that cover it? Let's jump to the flash forward then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Joey, why don't you start?
I'm really excited to see the end of Oak Street this week. I
People
kind
are blowing their loads over it.
of, I'm like so something about that really, and please tell me if you guys kind of agree with this or not, but I got so annoyed when people were like, today when the reactions came out, and everyone, like, if you want to say the movie surprised you, like that's fine. Like it just looks like a good time
Yeah.
movie, but like the people who are trying to make it sound like their opinion of the trailer and their opinion of what they thought the movie was should be held up to some sort of pedestal. They'd be like, I'm going to admit it. It's a really entertaining film. I'm so shocked. I'm so surprised. And I was like, you guys, like, get out of your own assholes. Like, it's so annoying to me. And it's not everybody, but it's like some people, they're just like, I'm gonna say it. Surprise of the summer. I was like, oh, thank you. Like, so
Do know how to trigger you, don't I?
it's
All I
just
do.
like, it's no, it wasn't just you. I saw that all day. And I was like, all right, guys, why
Was
can't you?
sending you stuff too because when people were comparing it to like Goonies, it's Goonies meets Jurassic Park meets Stranger Things meets, and I'm just
80s
like,
movies.
Jesus Christ.
It's
Like,
so.
and then they said, but it has a really, like somebody said it had a really good personal story too. I'm like, I am not
The
going to
movie
see
with the
this.
Dinosaurs
Yeah,
has
I'm
a
not going
really
to see this
refreshing.
movie for a personal growth story.
No, I'm
I
seeing the woman on the
want
porch getting eaten
to
by a
see. Yeah,
dinosaur. That's
I'm
what I'm
going
going
to
to
see some
see.
motherfucking dinosaurs. I'm not going to see the kids' coming of age story. Sorry.
I hope that's like the director's grandmother who was eaten by a dinosaur and was like, I needed to put this in to like, help my trauma. Thank you. Like, it's so annoying. I am doing that. I gotta say this, since we were just talking about Olivia Wilde, I just saw this past week, I Want Your Sex. She is amazing in that movie. It basically takes like when you see somebody like put their hand on someone's head and the person is like trying to hit them, like they're holding them at a distance. That's what I think Greg Araki is doing to One Night Only.
Oh, I love that.
I just think it's a really confrontational movie about sex and feelings and like consent and all this stuff. Like Greg Araki is a rock star. He needs to. I thought that when I saw the movie, at 8:30 in the morning on a Saturday,
Oh.
that I was like, I have not seen a Greg Araki movie in a theater since like 2003 or
I don't think I've ever
2004.
seen a Greg Araki movie.
Oh, you should.
Taught you nothing. Taught you nothing.
You should see Mysterious Skin. That's a it's a
Mysterious Skin
hard
is that's a
sit, but that
great
is a
movie. That's a
great movie.
hard movie to watch. But it's a
Okay.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is amazing in that movie.
Okay.
And I think actually this year is it maybe this year's the 20th anniversary of it, so
Yeah,
it's a
I
good
think
movie to watch.
so.
But
No, it's that was 2004.
okay. They're doing like showings of it, I think,
Did
in
he
LA
do
or something.
Brick too? Did he do Brick
No,
too?
that's
No.
Rian Johnson.
Oh, right. Okay.
No,
Sorry.
he did like
Kaboom.
the Doom Generation and Totally Fucked Up and The Living End, and his worst movie is better than a lot of people's whatever movies. Olivia Wilde is really good in it. Cooper Hoffman is really hot in it. It's I don't know. It's a good movie to see, and I want more people to see it. The only other thing that I'm going to be melting down about this whole week is the schedule for TIFF came out today. It is very large. It is very robust, and I'm parsing through it all, and it's very stressful. And I'm really stressed out about it because normally when I go to TIFF, I can really count on press and industry screenings, but I think every movie only has one press screening. I think someone found out only 20 movies out of the entire festival, only 20 movies have more than one press. Now they're called press and market screenings. Press and so I'm trying to figure out how to do that. So I have some people, they're like freaking out. They're like, we're gonna have to get to the theater. They're like, we're gonna have to get to every screening 2 hours in advance. And I want to be like, you can't do that for every movie. That's not how time works. That's it. I'm already stressing out about it. I'm not gonna be able to see Bunker. Bunker's playing the other Penelope Cruz movie. La Bola Negra is playing after I leave. So
The La
hopefully
Bola
that's a
Negra will
Telluride.
be a Telluride.
I hope so.
It will be.
So, I mean, it's a Netflix film.
Yeah.
Netflix, as always, has a presence there. So yeah, that's it. Just stress. I'm still publishing a bunch of stuff from shorts reviews. Holly Shorts starts this week. Holly Shorts Film Festival starts, and I'm covering that virtually
Holly
too. So
Shorts sounds like a girl we went to high school with. Holly Shorts is
I
here.
heard she's a slut. Did you hear what? I'm not saying this about the festival. Please don't take my access away. Just be like, did you hear what Holly Shorts did at the dance on
Yes, I
Friday?
did with that guy.
I
Yeah.
know.
Pregnant.
Joey, you're done?
Yeah, I'm done. Do not make
Joe.
this the clip. I'm gonna get my access taken away. Do not make this the clip. Seriously.
Should I go next? Do you want me to go next?
Yes, you should.
Yeah, please stop me from
Okay.
talking.
I'm really excited because I got screeners to Anna Pigeon on USA, and I'm so psyched for the show. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's about
I
this.
do. Oh, I had no idea
I'm
you wanted to
so
see Anna
psyched for
Pigeon.
Anna Pigeon. It's about this like park ranger who's got trauma, and she's
Oh, God,
I
make
don't
that
know. I'm
word
just
again.
so psyched for Anna Pigeon. I was like, yes, Anna Pigeon. I've got that to watch. I've got a documentary about Martin Short's Godspell that I need to watch.
Oh, you have that?
Yes, I have that. I have to watch that. Hanging on a Wire is a film that was at Sundance that I've been really wanting to watch. That's on my list. American Doctor is another one that is on my list. Listening to Carly Rae Jepsen's new "Don't Leave Me on the Dance Floor"
Yes.
and just ogling Alden Ehrenreich, who looks so hot in that video. And then I guess that's probably about it. I do need to see The Invite. So now that that's out for digital, I might try to watch that too. I've got a lot to do. And that is it.
I did not know it was out. Oh yeah, there it is. I will be rewatching that. End of Oak Street, moving my daughter into college. Those are the things I'm looking forward to, or maybe not looking forward to. Mixed emotions, bittersweet, whatever. But I'm gonna go see End of Oak Street on Friday. And then I am catching up with a bunch of TV shows. All of the more episodes of all of the things that we've talked about in this podcast, plus more. And I'm reading two books. I am reading
Cool.
but one of them is a Freedom McFadden book, so it doesn't really count. No, I'm kidding.
This doesn't count as a book.
well,
Freedom
that's
McFadden
hilarious.
just threw her stuff down listening to
No, I
this. Like,
love Freedom
damn it.
McFadden. I keep going to Target saying I'm not going to read all of this woman's books, and then I leave with two.
Wait, are you reading The Boyfriend?
I haven't read The
Have you
Boyfriend
read?
yet because it's lower on my
Okay.
list because you said you didn't like it.
I didn't, but I mean, it's
Well,
fun.
wait a
They're
minute.
fun.
I bought the boyfriend because you
Oh
said you
my
didn't like it, so
God.
I'm gonna love it. I'm
Yeah, you'll
kidding.
probably love it. No, I didn't hate it, but it was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah,
Kind of.
this book and I'm it's what is the book? It's called Never Lie. It's the only time that I've read one of her books where my brain was thinking on her wavelength, and I'm like, oh, this guy is evil, and you're gonna tell the rest of the story from his perspective halfway through the book. Like, I can almost finish the book, so we'll see if that's true. And then I'm also reading Count My Lies by Sophie Stava, which is going to be a Hulu limited series, horribly cast with Lindsay Lohan and oh God, Big Little Lies girl, the one that didn't belong.
Shailene Woodley.
Shailene Woodley, thank you.
And then I believe Catherine Lanassa is in it too, right?
Is she
I think she's in it.
the one who didn't belong?
She didn't belong.
But
I
she
don't.
was very important to the story.
Oh, she
Notice how
is.
I'm neither of us are arguing with you.
She is in that, Catherine Lanassa. She's playing Shailene Woodley's elderly mother.
Elderly. Excuse your
I
mouth,
was gonna
sir.
say, like,
I'm not. That's the character in the book. See, I tell you, it's horribly
maybe they're gonna
cast.
make her like hot and not elderly.
I hope her name is just elderly mother.
The character, all right, so this just very quickly. Shailene Woodley is a pathological liar in the show, not in real life.
Just isolate that. Shailene Woodley is the pathological liar. That's
Oh,
the
it's a dog.
and she becomes obsessed with this couple who's in their
Kidding.
early
Sorry.
30s, who are perfect specimens of humanity. One, like the husband, the way that he is described, him makes him sound like John F. Kennedy Jr. Like super tall, dark hair, wavy, wears Wayfair
Listening.
sunglasses with the tortoise shell rim. And the wife is like super skinny and athletic and dark hair. And they cast it with Lindsay Lohan playing that character and Kit Harington, who is probably shorter than Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Terrible
Oh, short.
casting.
Oh, he's like
Terrible.
5'7". He's
Yeah,
real
he's
short.
short. Oh, he's
He's
still
short. Yeah.
taller than I am.
Well, Smurfs are taller than you are.
It because I'm wearing blue?
Everybody but Megan. All right, Smurfette. All
Oh,
right. So that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I'm doing this week. So does that cover it?
yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3 M's contending co-founders, Clarence Moy, Megan McLaughlin, and Joey Moser. Thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on your favorite podcast app or click like and subscribe here on YouTube. Listen to me like I'm a child from the early 2000s and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.